Being a successful business person does not mean you have to compromise your values. Actually, strengthening one's values helps strengthen the entire enterprise. This week, Techonomics host Jason Middleton asks a thought leader to grab a moral compass and help navigate the way for building successful teams and setting true goals. That discussion starts now.
Hello, and thanks for listening. The business of writing books about business is booming. Expertise can come from any part of the business cycle. Maybe it's successful CEOs or founders or marketing experts and, of course, books about improving sales.
Because only one thing counts in this life. Get them to sign on the line which is dotted. A, B, C. A, always, B, B, C, closing. Always be closing. Always be closing.
More rare is the business book about values-based leadership. And then if you layer on a medical degree, well, you get an excellent book authored by Dr. Jeff Thompson. Jeff Thompson, MD, is executive advisor and chief executive officer emeritus at Gunderson Health System. He's a pediatrician, an author, and a speaker on values-based leadership. His new book is titled Lead True, Live Your Values, Build Your People, Inspire Your Community. And in these times when popular culture is kind of hotly debating what leadership really is, especially in politics, a morally valid discussion is most welcome. Here's our chat.
Jeff Thompson, former CEO of the Gunderson Health System.
And you are the present author of Lead True, Live Your Values, Build Your People, Inspire Your Community. I want to get into the pages of the book for sure. A lot of great anecdotes in here, a lot of storytelling. There's either a great market opportunity for a leadership book right now or a major headwind for a leadership book. Your book is clear-eyed. Your book is fact-based. Your book is optimistic. And that is not the leadership atmosphere we live in at the moment. Did you have any consideration of that as you were putting this book together, Lead True?
I did. I have a lot of people that ask me for advice with our success in a health system and then in building our community, taking responsibility to actually live our values. People say, how do you do this and succeed? It appears conventional wisdom is that you have to be egocentric or finance-centric to be successful. I just didn't agree and said we can find many people in many sectors, not just healthcare, manufacturing, education, government. You find those stories in the book that people are quite successful and still are able to live their values and keep their soul.
Tell me how you got to this point. Is this something that you had to learn along the curve or were you born to this?
I think there's a mix. I don't think standing in the breach and having the courage to take on these issues is necessarily everybody's cup of tea. But I think you can learn an awful lot of it. I, of course, went to medical school. I was an ICU pediatrician for 35 years. But along the way, I was also doing many types of leadership and felt it was important not to just lead because I had a title, but lead because I could really help the team do better. You just have to realize you're going to fall on your face. You're going to make mistakes. And in the book, that's what I try and show people that struggled. Sometimes they didn't always win in the short term.
Right.
And in the long term, with long-term thinking, then people that in manufacturing or in education, in healthcare, really stuck with their values, they won in the long term.
Let's get a working definition from the author of Lead True or Leading True. What can we work with before we finish the rest of the interview?
I tried to imply that it's a consistent approach to decision-making and how you treat people, how you treat the broader community that is clear, transparent, and always in line with a set of values that, frankly, are beyond your ego or your personal finances or your short-term win and serve a greater good, a bigger purpose.
Let's say you're looking for personal growth and you are leading a team and you see the book title, you're walking through a bookstore or you're looking at it on Amazon or wherever you get your books, and you see the book and you're like, I'm not sure I do that. If I'm mid-career, can I pick up this book and learn some new muscle memory when it comes to leadership?
I think it's might be ideal for mid-career folks because they've had enough experience, they've had some victories, they've had some losses. They sometimes are wondering, they've seen examples of people that led more ego-based than values-based. And they're saying, boy, are there really people out there that compete and succeed in this world. And we, you know, our healthcare organization, this is a part of the stories in there. We competed against insurance companies 100 times our size, other healthcare systems 10, 20 times our size, and yet grew, had better outcomes, were able to decrease our costs, became great partners with our community to build the community, to start working on health of the community over a decade ago before it was a popular language in the lexicon of healthcare. So you can do this. My hope is to put enough stories in that people will find one that really identifies with their situation and will help them find a way forward.
Is there something in healthcare specifically that you could point to that you see other people kind of claiming and hoping to move forward? What was something that became such a touchstone for the healthcare professionals?
I think one of the pieces is that we haven't necessarily done this well in healthcare for a long time. And I, years ago, called out my own organization and many others, Toussaint and Bisignano and Berwick, who said, we are not doing as well as we need to do. We are not living our values. We're saying we're all about the community, the health of the community. And so many healthcare organizations were all about just taking care of sick people who paid and getting bigger for bigger's sake and those things. So really, it was a certain set of values on the wall and a much different set of priorities in the boardroom and in the senior executive suites. And we just said that's not okay. And we believe we can be competitive, build a fantastic place for people to work and grow and serve our community much better. And I think that resonated with other healthcare organizations, but you know, it resonated with Jeff Immelt, who agreed to write the foreword for the book because he seen healthcare organizations around the world and felt what we had done, and more importantly, the way we'd gone about doing it was significant.
Do you ever get despondent when you look at the conversation that's happening around healthcare right now? Seems to me, to use a phrase, unhealthy.
I'm not a despondent kind of guy. I'm more of a jump into the fight and start swinging kind of guy. So I kind of take it out. So I wrote a blog post for Forbes not long ago about the healthcare situation, and people were all stewing about this bill, that bill. And I said, one of our biggest problems is we spend more than $3 trillion in this country every year, and we don't have a goal. We have no goals. Why does Costa Rica and Finland and all these other people beat the tar out of us on the health of the population? Because we spend all our time futzing about how much we're going to pay for this knee getting fixed and how much for that hospitalization, how much for this and that, all these different things. This fee-for-service, very antiquated, very clumsy, expensive system to run. And yet we don't set any goals. Congress has not come out and said, here's our goals to keep children immunized or old people having a say in their end-of-life decisions or all pregnant women getting adequate care. Other countries have done that. That's one of the reasons their health is better and they spend less money. So I'm less likely to get despondent, more likely to just write and speak and point out that there is a better way. We can do a better way. And there are many organizations and many good, very good leaders out there that you can take examples from in healthcare, in manufacturing, in tech. We're not alone in this. But back to your point, there's a million books on strategy and growth and crushing the competition. And you can learn from those books. But I just felt there is an opportunity here to say, let's talk about a really fundamental piece here. Are we going to lead with our values? Are we going to set goals that really serve the greater good and still be able to compete? I believe we can. And here's a whole long list of other people that did exactly that.
Well, Jeff, this is an inspired and inspiring book. So we hope in our small way we can help amplify the message.
Well, thanks. I really appreciate it. I guess what I would say to people is the book is a guideline for both people starting out to say, how do I want to craft my career? And there's enough practical information in there that if you're the CEO of a startup or division head of a larger organization, there are ways to connect with your people, set goals, and develop partnerships that actually will be not only very competitive, but will be consistent with living your values and the values of your community. I would have people not be discouraged by the general tone on the nightly news, but there are many great successes out there, and they can look around, find them, and join those as partners.
Dr. Jeff Thompson, author of Lead True, Live Your Values, Build Your People, Inspire Your Community. Thank you so much for your time this morning. We hope to talk again soon.
Thank you very much.
That's Dr. Jeff Thompson. He's Executive Advisor and CEO Emeritus at Gunderson Health System. He is also the author of a thought leadership book that has relevance across the business spectrum, regardless of sector or industry. For a link, please check out the article that accompanies this week's show and podcast. That article lives at kgoradio.com/techonomics. Coming up after the break, we go back to school, virtually at least. More children are getting access to virtual reality field trips with classroom software that not only broadens horizons, but gives teachers some much-needed efficiencies. Google education tools are next. I'm Jason Middleton. This is Techonomics. Please stick around.